When people don't agree with someone online, they are quick to label that person a false teacher. Nowadays, everybody's a false teacher. If you don't agree with me, you're a false teacher.
You know, biblical illiteracy is a major problem in our world today. And it's not limited to just the people. There's a lot of churches that are biblically illiterate as well. And pastors and Christian influencers that are biblically illiterate that end up leading people astray. So that's a big problem. Let's talk about discernment here. How do you decide where to be fed? And then how do you deal with false teachers? Because I love how you've dealt with that.
Yeah, thank you. That is something I'm very passionate about. And it comes from my personal experience of being in a church whenever I was in college that was had a lot of false teaching going on. And I was caught up in quite a bit of that. And that, I think, is another thing that motivated me in 2014, 2015 when I started is I want to make sure I do my part as a Christian teacher to equip people to be able to discern truth from error, because I wasn't able to do that early on in my walk. Matter of fact, shameless plug. I mean, that's what, you know, this book is all about. I wrote this book last year, my first book I ever wrote. Super excited about it, proud of it, but it's basically seven lies that distort the gospel and how you can discern the truth. And I go through what I believe are the seven most destructive, most harmful, false teachings that are permeating the church today and leading many people astray. Hence the name of the book, Misled. And so, you know, how do we do that? I think it's a couple things. Well, first of all, you asked the question, how do you discern, how do I choose a Bible-based church?
Right.
You know, personally for me, you know, one of the things that I look for is the pastor teaching expository, you know, expositionally, right? Or is it all topical? And for those who may not know what expositional preaching is, it's when the pastor takes a passage of scripture, gives you the theological, biblical, and cultural context of what's happening in that passage, what came before, what came after. They're also possibly using, you know, original language tools, if possible, to kind of help you understand what the passage is talking about versus a sermon that, and I'm not saying there's not a place for this because I do this on my channel, but I try to be very careful with it, where you have 10 different scriptures that just pulled randomly out of context. And sometimes those scriptures are just bent to try to force into what is the minister actually trying to say. And these scriptures will help me say what I want to say instead of, okay, let me say what God has already said right in his word and let the chips fall from there. So looking for a Bible-based church, looking for a church that allows you to use your gifts and your skills, and one that is true to biblical truth and not teaching, you know, heresy and different things that are leading many people astray today.
How do we as Christians deal with false teachers? And how do you decide where to get fed spiritually?
Well, I'm really glad that you asked that question, because there's a problem going on online right now where when people don't agree with someone online, they are quick to label that person a false teacher. They'll even come out with videos and say, so-and-so is a false teacher, whether it's Andy Stanley, John Piper, Tony Evans, Alan Parr, and nowadays, everybody's a false teacher. If you don't agree with me, you're a false teacher. And I think we need to get back to what a false teacher is, right? A false teacher is not someone who teaches that women can be in ministry. That's a secondary issue that we can discuss offline or online, but a false teacher is someone who is teaching against the core tenets of the Christian faith. I mean, I think we all know what they are: the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus being divine and human, 100% human, 100% divine. God exists in one person. God is one God, exists in three persons. So we have the triune God.
Yes.
We have the Bible as the final, inerrant, infallible word of God as the only authority. We have, all these different doctrines that we would consider, Jesus being God, all those types of things. So when you see a minister who is preaching some sort of truth or false truth that is deviating away from that, that would be a false teacher. Now, I have another category called not recommended, right? So you have false teachers, and then you have not recommended, and then you have recommended. And recommended would be people I would say, you know what? I agree with probably about 95% of what they teach. They're really solid. There might be some secondary issues that we disagree with. Okay, no problem. Nobody's going to go too far away from the gospel because of these differences. Yeah. I recommend them, right? Not recommended would be people that are teaching all kinds of things that in my mind are secondary issues, but they're really false. But they still hold to the truth of the gospel and Christianity. And then finally, a false teacher, somebody who is denying the core tenets of the Christian faith.
So that term false teacher is used way too much according to your definition. And I agree with that completely. You know, it's easy to just label somebody else a false teacher. But that reminds me of the scripture where Jesus says, you're calling out the speck in somebody else's eye, but you've got a log in your own eye. I think anybody that's calling out a false teacher needs to make sure that they're coming from a very grounded standpoint as well.
Yeah, it's not easy because, you know, well, it's not easy from a couple of standpoints. First of all, it's not easy from a creator standpoint because we as creators, we've been on YouTube long enough to know what's going to get the click. What is the algorithm going to favor, right? And if I put someone's picture, a popular minister's picture on my thumbnail, and I say, this guy's a false teacher, then I know that people are going to be drawn to that. But I have to be very careful because that's maligning somebody's character now. That's slandering them. That's could be doing damage to the body of Christ because that person might not agree with what everything I teach, but they could be teaching the gospel properly and people are getting saved. So you have to be careful with this type of stuff and not just go after clicks because you want to earn more money on online, on YouTube. You got to watch that type of thing and make sure you check your motives and ask God, well, what's my motive for this? Now, if there's something that you're really genuinely trying to warn your audience about from this teacher that not recommended, then by all means, let the Spirit lead you and make that video because people might be being led astray by teaching. Let me just say it this way. People might be led astray by false teachings, but this person may not be a false teacher, if that makes sense, right? This person might be teaching things that are false, but they are not a false teacher, right? And so that's the first thing. You have to be careful there. But the second thing also is you have to be careful because people are making videos about me, right? And so I have to be careful not to internalize those things. I have to be careful not to respond and react to every video that people, and I hope this doesn't come off the wrong way, but a lot of times people are making these videos because they know for the same reason, if they put my face and my name in their title and thumbnail, that it's going to get clicks and, you know, and this and that and the other. So I have to make sure that I'm always representing Christ in how I respond to people. And that's why most of the time when I put videos out, I would say 90, 95% of them, I don't mention people's names. I have in the past, but I'm very careful about mentioning names and I try to deal with the specific issue that I don't agree with.
So you're dealing with the issue more than the person. And that comes down to biblical understanding and biblical literacy. But how do we help people grow on their own? Because it's not the milk you need, it's the meat that we really need.
Well, you've touched on something that I'm very, very passionate about and also very disappointed in, because while I understand that not every Christian YouTuber is a Bible teacher, and I understand that, and it's probably best that they don't try to become one when they're not, but I will say this. What's disappointing to me now is what's trending on YouTube for most Christian YouTubers is basically becoming a Christian tabloid channel where all you do is take something that goes on in the world and you try to provide some sort of Christian worldview or some sort of perspective about it, right? Whether it's something about Taylor Swift or Cardi B or, you know, or I don't know, Nicki Minaj or something like that. And so then we do a video about that, or, you know, and I just think that the reason why is because, let's be honest, that's what people are clicking on. And then if you get more clicks, you get more ad revenue. And a lot of YouTubers, this is their livelihood. This is what they do. This is how they earn their income. And I'm not trying to, you know, question people's motives, but my point is, if you've got a platform of 200,000, 300,000, 400,000 people, when you stand before God, are you really going to feel like the best content you could put out is a video about Nicki Minaj, right? I mean, that to me is just, let's use our platforms to teach people how to think biblically, to teach them how to study the word of God, how to discern truth from error. But in order to do that, you may have to be willing to do what I'm doing, which is sacrifice some views. I know that if I put out a video on an overview of the book of Zechariah, that people aren't going to click on that and be like, oh, I want to study that. But that's what people need. They need to know how to study the word of God. And so I just wish there were more YouTubers and pastors, because they're not off the hook either, because, you know, a lot of pastors have fallen into the culture, which is, hey, since many Christians are watered down in their understanding of how to study the word, I'll just water down my sermons as well and give people milk instead of meat. And I just think we need a holistic return to meat teaching of the word of God. I guess that's, I guess yeah. I don't know how to say it, but teaching the meat of the word of God, as I say.